Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of May 20th through 26th, 2013. The first big headline of the summer broke Monday, and it's one that arguably changes everything. Igor Spielbond has a world medalist team again. He's picked up Natalie Peschel and Fabian Borza. The move, however, was not their idea. The Federation ordered them to go to their new coach and do exactly what he says. The French sports paper L'Equipe has quotes from everyone saying Peschel and Borza nonetheless agreed this was a good idea, that Spielbond could give them what they need technically, and they like how he has them doing things like consulting with technical specialists to make sure they're doing the fin step the right way, though there's another claim out there, they weren't happy at having to move, though that might have simply been because by their own admission, Pasquale Carlomingo, who had endured insults from Didier Galago after Worlds, did not take the news well at all, and Angelika Krylova was more gracious, but still made it clear she thought the move was a wrong one. One deserted coach reporting that a team was leaving him by Federation order, meanwhile, was Alexander Julin. Julius Lobin and Alexei Sitnikov have left him. He didn't say for who. According to him, it was strictly at the order of the Azerbaijani Skating Federation's vice president. They didn't want to go, and everyone was in tears when they said goodbye. He comments briefly on Peschel and Borza's move too, which he apparently hadn't learned was the Federation's decision, and shrugs at it as not being his business anymore anyway. But of course, the first subject of the interview was Ekaterina Bobrova and Dmitry Soloviev, who he sees as closing the gap on the top two. He notes their free dance last season was based off a program done on Ice Age, and then credits the show for a contribution to the skating world. He saw it as a love it or hate it program everyone talked about, and this is being a good thing. He sees them as right where they need to be and not needing to do anything besides what they've been doing already. And for a smaller coaching change, revealed through her Ice Network bio, Lea Kaize is no longer working with Chris DeFosti, but now working with Tammy Gambill. She continues to work with John Nix. A Russian girl, too, is changing coaches, with it being announced this week that Polina Agafonova has joined Evgeny Rukovitsyn's group in St. Petersburg. Rukovitsyn, speaking about it, said he's working on fixing her technical issues, and she will certainly take whatever shot she has at Sochi, though he acknowledges that that probably won't happen. But for another one of his students, it has gone from probably won't happen to definitely won't happen, as both he and she herself announced this week that Xenia Makarova will not compete this coming season. He described it as being due to various injuries, especially her now chronic hip issues, which she later described as going on for the past 3 years. She, however, also says she is not retiring, that she's hoping to return to the Olympics if only in 2018, and that she will even stay on the ice during the year, though with less intense scheduling. She has also returned to the U.S., though she also insists she is not leaving Rukovitsyn either, that she'll occasionally go back to St. Petersburg to work with him, and he may come to the States to help her. For those remaining in Russia, the calendar for internal competitions has been released, and it gives them two more chances at Sochi Ice. The Internal Cup Series starts in Perm in mid-September, moves to Sochi at the beginning of October, will be in Samara 2 weeks later, then goes to Yashkar mid-November, before concluding in Moscow at the beginning of December. It's the first time the series has ever been in Sochi. But then, over Christmas, Russian nationals will spend a second year also in Sochi. Junior Nationals will be held in Saransk in late January, and the Russian Cup Finals will occur right after the Olympics in Veliky Novgorod. Not changing any of his students, but changing his location, Frank Carroll confirmed this week he has returned to his old ice at the Toyota Sports Center del Segundo, which now has all the ice surfaces he wants and has promised them ice time. He also briefs us a little on both his top students, saying about Evan Lysacek's competing in Sochi, I hope to God he does. He says he had trouble getting working skates last year, but this problem is now fixed, and he wants to go all out and do the team event as well as the individual men's event. He gives news of the new programs of both him and Dennis Ten. Lysacek will get a new short, but keep the Samson and Delilah free. He's still trying to get to a competition with, and while Ten actually planned to keep his artist programs for the Olympic season, after their world success, they feel he needs to change it up, and Lori Nicol will make him new ones, for which the music hasn't yet been selected. We have a lot of music news, including that Akiko Suzuki will be skating one of her programs to La Vie en Rose, because Robin Cousins, of all people, mentioned this while conversing with her and Jeremy Abbott on Twitter. She herself blogged about doing her short with Massimo Scali this week, while doing her long with Carlomingo next month, so it seems likely La Vie en Rose is the former. It's actually getting even more crowded than usual in that rink. A statement released on their website this week that Malin Hausch and Daniel Venn talked about getting their programs from Krylova and Carlomingo too. Over in Russia, Elizaveta Tuktomysheva is apparently choosing between two programs for at least the short, because she talks about getting two programs from Jeffrey Buttle in Canada in one interview, and then in another speaks on working on a short while touring with Kirov ballet dancer Anton Pimenov. The Buttle programs will include a Latin-themed short and a free for which they haven't picked music yet. She doesn't specify anything about the music with the Pimenov, but speaks generally of unexpected and fresh choreography. Speaking not altogether dissimilarly was Tamara Mosvina about Yuka Kavaguti and Alexander Smirnov, naming their choreographer as Peter Tanishev, saying she's picked the music without saying what it is, but saying something about surprising music and looking at Russian music, but wanting something people around the world will recognize. Though apparently they haven't even settled on his hair color yet. She also says they'll go for the quad again, and speaks of Smirnov's injuries and his resulting inability to train properly throughout last season, which he hopes to recover from better now during the off-season. Another interview done this week was Jeremy Abbott with The Skating Lesson. He too isn't naming his short music yet, but does call it upbeat and fun, and the program a homage to Dean Kelly. He also goes into detail about earlier announcements, saying he decided to go back to Exogenesis after listening to the music again, and to work with Robin Cousins for his short because for his last competitive season, he wanted to work with the guy who inspired him to skate. He talked about last season, saying he struggled with the quad because he failed to lose the weight he'd gained the previous summer. In response to this, he changed his diet around, and he competed at the World Team Trophy because he felt he'd been training better than he had been before Nationals, and while skating had problems there, he still took away some positives he was glad for. He will start preparing for next season after a break over the next 2 weeks, calls the upcoming last season do or die, and speaks of doing as many shows as he can after retirement. Yet another coach, a newly made one, is speaking this week, with Hong Bo-Zhao continuing to converse with the press while currently taking on new temporary responsibilities while Bin Yao is in the hospital due to issues with the cervical spine in his neck. And he noted, Cheng Peng and Hao Zhang are skating a program to the Yellow River Concerto, a piece of music Zhao wanted them to use because he wanted them to skate to music identified with China. He also spoke of his belief that Qing Pang and Jian Tong, as very much still the top Chinese pair, despite his injuries, retain a chance at gold. And when Zhui Shen is ready to coach, he expects she'll work heavily with the female skaters. And that the upcoming baby is a girl. And we have the identity of the year's Carmen. Or at least Don Jose or Escamillo, since it's Max Aaron. He says Lori Nichol greeted him at the airport with her choice for his music playing in her car. It's a recording that uses the music in both classic and modern styles, and she wanted an unusual version. In fact, in a nice network interview, Aaron says of it, I feel it keeps people wondering what the music is until the very end when you realize the music is Carmen. He and coach Tom Zakrajsek both wanted his programs done early, and he now has even gotten new skates for the first time in 2.5 years, another thing his coach is very pleased about. Similarly talking this week to Ice Network was Christopher Kaluza, who has settled on Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's Jumping Jack for a short, but is still currently deciding which concerto he'll pick for his long. He talks considerably about representing the Philippines, saying he wanted to represent the country and inspire young skaters there since he was 16, but he wanted to qualify for U.S. Senior Nationals first to prove himself and his ability, and he's glad to see the sport growing in the country itself, even while he mourns the everyday struggles citizens face, about which he said, I cried leaving the country my first time because I was going back to the U.S., where we have everything, and a lot of people don't. Though he acknowledges that not everyone there is happy about his skating under their flag while being American, and he felt he had to successfully defend his national title this season to show he belonged there. He was happiest, however, about his four-continent skate, which he calls one of the best I've ever done, if less happy about his world's performance, which he chalks up to learning. He's working on his triple axel and quad, and very much wants to qualify for Sochi, especially since he's not sure he'll stay for the entire next quadrennium. Talking similarly was Rohin Ward. Going into details, the week after his intended comeback was announced, his short will be to Din Da Da by club dance artist Kevin Aviance, while his freest to modern classical composer Craig Armstrong's 1998 version of Weatherstorm, from the piece originally done by Armstrong and others for the 1994 album of music group Massive Attack. He said he'd been thinking about it even while touring, where he kept all his jumps, including his triple axel and elements, and also including his ability to jump double axels and spin in both directions, while getting the kind of consistency he hadn't had before. So when coach Corey Ade invited him to move to Colorado with her, he thought the situation ideal for returning. Though right now, he's hindered by the work he's doing as coach and choreographer, because not only is it the busiest time of year for him as the latter, but Ade, thanks to a recently born baby, is relying heavily on his work with her students. But coaching while competing certainly isn't new for him, and he describes his current happiness by saying, I couldn't really ask for any other situation right now. He intends to compete in both the short program and special jumping competitions at the Broadmoor Open, then also skate in the Vail Invitational and at Glacier Falls. Another interview published this week was done with Anna Ocharova at Music on Ice a couple of weeks back. There, she specifies her short as being to Gypsy Music and her free to Glenn Miller. She also notes she will be able to compete internationally for Switzerland starting this coming July, but she will do Nationals, another international competition, first, and as she will not have Swiss citizenship in time, she will not be able to compete in Sochi. Elsewhere in the world, another injured girl isn't giving up so easily. Chelsea Lee, whose first comeback on the Australian scene last season was ultimately derailed by inflammation of pubic bones and muscles, is now struggling to fix it with plasma injections, with physical therapy having failed to work, and still is not back on the ice, but she remains determined to get to the Olympic again, even with time running out. She'll keep her current programs because she really won't have time to replace them. In order to be the one qualifying for the Olympics, Lee will have to win the special selection event being held in her home rink in Sydney in late August, the winner of whom will try to qualify Australia the berth at the Nebelhorn Trophy. Other things are now definitely coming to an end, with Jane Torval and Christopher Dean announcing this week that the next season of Dancing on Ice will be the last, and next year's tour the last two. They note, next year will be the 30th anniversary of Bolero and our Olympic gold medal in Sarajevo, so for us, it seems a fitting time to say goodbye to Dancing on Ice. We wanted to go out on a high. Hopefully now looking at its final season, is CBC's Battle of the Blades. And as CBC released some details of everything in its fall lineup, this included a comment from their executive director of unscripted programming, Julie Bristow. There will be a lot of former Olympians involved, and that means both hockey and skating Olympic veterans, and the show will be used to promote CBC's Olympic programming as well. So far, however, the only actual name released is Marie-France Dubray. Down south, it was the finale for Dancing with the Stars' 16th season, which of course meant Dorothy Hamill, along with other eliminated contestants, returned to the dance floor. Unfortunately, while she was now recovered enough from her back injury she could dance, partner Tristan McManus had a broken toe and couldn't dance with her. So Henry Bialykov from the show's dance troupe stepped in. He choreographed for her what was announced as Viennese Waltz, but included elements of five other dances that she would have done had she not had to withdraw. During the rehearsals, he told her he thought she could definitely have won had she not been injured. And then, in a surprise appearance, during their dance, Christy Yamaguchi, whose run had inspired Hamill to do the show, came out with dance troupe member Sasha Farber. Yamaguchi was sure to say after she had idolized Hamill first, and they talked about possibly performing together again on the ice. For on-ice performance, this week saw Dennis Ten fulfill another dream he had about having a show in Kazakhstan with some of the sport's biggest stars. Dennis Ten and friends this weekend in Almaty and Astana contained the likes of Stéphane Lambiel, Carolina Kostner, Brian Joubert, Tatiana Tatmina, and Maxi Marin and Irina Slutskaya. He wanted to bring Frank Carroll and Lori Nichols to Kazakhstan with him too, but they couldn't make it. The shows were rousing success. The skaters got the royal treatment, even being invited to dinner with Almaty's deputy mayor. Ten summed it up on Twitter, "Well done. Two cities, two shows, two crowds with standing ovations, 14 skaters with to stay in Kazakhstan, 10,500 positive emotions." And finally, some honors conferred this week. Carroll was, in fact, at the Professional Skating Association's annual conference and EDI awards, though he didn't win anything. Coach of the Year instead went to Christy Kral for her work with Joshua Ferris, Angela Wang, and Agnes Sawatsky, and she also took the Pieter Kolin Sports Science Award for use of scientific technology in figure skating. Choreographer of the Year went to Tom Dixon. Tammy Gamble repeated for her third developmental coach award with the successes of Vincent Chow, Shitara Omori, and the top two ladies at Novice Nationals. The Betty Barron's Award for Overcoming Adversity went to Darian Hosier, a Washington State-based coach who 6 months ago was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Janet Belbin and Michael Weiss won the Sonia Henny and Gustav Lucy Awards for bringing recognition to the sport, and the F. Ritter Schoenway Award for unending dedication and significant contribution to the world of figure skating went to former USFSA President Benjamin Wright. And that is This Week in Figure Skating. Good night.